stop? Will you stop, Dave? Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
All right, here we are. It's Friday night. This is our regular night now. Last night we did a special Thursday night show to launch the Million Dollar Message. We're here tonight with night two of six. We're going to be doing the Million Dollar Message tonight, tomorrow, and then next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We'll get into more and more about what the Million Dollar Message is right now. You can call in your pledge if you're already on board at 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835 to make a pledge. We've talked for quite a while about these issues, the issues we're going to talk about tonight. If you're a regular listener, you're going to hear some of the same old stuff over again. It's all right. It's great to revisit the problems, to keep them ever present in our minds. For now, though, about 25 or 35 minutes ago, the 2014 legislative session in Jefferson City came to an end. A lot of important stuff was done. I'm still waiting to get some follow-up. I saw some tweets go out. I wasn't listening live to any of the proceedings. And I'm waiting to see something posted from our good friend Ron Calzone. I think I understand that the Second Amendment Preservation Act finally got adopted in the last minutes of the session by the House, more or less as agreed to, or as sent back amended by the Senate. I believe I understood that. It's been a convoluted process, the conference committee report, and then a conference committee report that was voted on by the House that was not a legitimate report, and then a tweet minutes before the session ended that I believe told me that the Senate version had been adopted by the House, and that would have that House bill as amended by the Senate, or the Senate substitute of the House, the Senate committee substitute of the Senate substitute of the House bill, on its way to the governor's desk with the tighter language in it. I believe that's what happened. That's one of the important things. We got a in name only tax cut, and several other good things happened. We did have an override of the governor on the tax cut. Several bad things happened this legislative session. Right to work was discussed a little too much. Medicaid expansion was discussed a little too much. I would rather see these things just dismissed as even discussed. And I believe one Medicaid expansion proposal proposed by a Republican actually got some traction but didn't pass. Sadly, the most important bill of this legislative session didn't even get out of committee, barely got to committee, and we're going to be talking about that one at length tonight. I say it's the most important bill without downplaying the importance of the Second Amendment Preservation Act and the tax cut, without downplaying the importance of some of these bills that were incredibly important, without downplaying the importance of some of the bills that were incredibly important to pass that didn't pass, the paper ballot issue, for example. I don't want to step on those as being important, but this is what you have to remember about this most important piece of legislation. House Bill 1476, the article, or 476, I'm sorry, the article of impeachment against the governor. This single article of impeachment accuses the governor of maliciously and willfully reneging on his constitutional responsibility to see to it that Missourians are represented in the state capitol. So let's look at some of these important things that happened. Let's look at the Second Amendment Preservation Act that barely got through. Let's look at the paper ballot issue that didn't get through. Mike Moon's HB 476 is the most important piece of legislation because 283,000 of you out there didn't even have a voice in these bills. What could have or might have or would have been different in this legislative session? If more than 250,000 of you folks out there listening had had a voice in the House of Representatives, what could have been different? What would have been different? Because of the governor's neglect, we'll never know. You do understand, right, that the convention that gave us the Constitution of the United States in Philadelphia was almost bankrupted over the issue of representation. So important is the issue of representation to the very being of our republic that those issues almost sent those delegates home empty-handed. The most important and fundamental foundation of our republic is representation at the seat of power. Now, we've talked endlessly on this show for over a year about one single issue, state sovereignty. If nothing highlights for you the idea that state sovereignty is important, let it be the primaries that are going on in various states over the last 3 weeks. Time after time after time, the incumbent, name-recognized, power-backed, elitist incumbent survives the primary at the national level. That's why I've said for the last year, it's time to give up that fight, brothers and sisters. It's time to turn our attention inward. Nothing is going to be fixed at the Washington, D.C. level until states say, we take this nation back. Until the states who constitutionally own the government of this nation say out loud, we're in charge here. We, the 50 states of this cooperative, are running this show. You in Washington, D.C., don't come and tell us what to do with our schools. You don't come tell us what to do with our land, what to do with our waterways, what to do with our power companies and our highways and our roads and our bridges. You don't tell us what to do with our benefit programs. You don't tell us what to do with our pensions. You don't tell us what to do with our labor organizations. You don't tell us what to do with our private businesses, with our private properties, with our guns. You don't tell us, period. Here's a document that tells you where your power lies. And it ain't any of those things we just talked about. Right here is a written document agreed to by the states that tells you what your function is, and it is that and no more. We are sovereign states, and we own the federal government. Now, we've talked about the importance of that for over a year, and here's the crux of the sovereignty of the state of Missouri. We are ill prepared in Missouri to stand and take our place at the table of the cooperative. And why is that? Because you and me, the sovereign people of Missouri, have not declared the same kind of ownership of our government. We have not stood up and said, this is our state, and we own it. You, Jay Nixon, do not own it. You, Tim Jones, do not own it. You, committee chairmen, do not own our state. We own our state. We have a seat at the table in Jefferson City. And we are taking our state back. When we do that, we will be well positioned to take our place as a sovereign state at the table with the other sovereign states. This is where our fight is, brothers and sisters, in the state of Missouri. In the state of Missouri. And when we get Missouri right, and we bring Missouri to the table, then we'll get the federal government right, not the other way around. It can be done. You can look around at states that are already ahead of us. in seizing back the power. Wisconsin totally turned their state around when the people stood behind those who said, this state belongs to you. We're going to do what you want. Because that's the way it works. When the people of the state said, we are taking over. We are electing representatives of the people. The people who speak for us will speak with our voice. How far are we from that in the state of Missouri? I say a good long ways. This most important piece of legislation, 476, was introduced by Mike Moon in the first month of the legislative session. The first month, Mike Moon stood tall for you and spoke for you and said, this isn't right. This governor is denying people a seat at the table. Now, there's plenty of people out here who have a seat at the table and have wasted it away by putting the wrong person in that seat. But these people, these 250,000 people, have been denied a seat at the table. Their chair is empty. They have no voice. And you, Governor Nixon, have a constitutional duty to give them back their voice. And you refuse to do so. It's time for you to have a day of reckoning for single-handedly attacking the fundamental principle of the representative republic. Until we get our state in order, we are ill-prepared to advance. And Mike Moon said, let's get our state in order. Let's give the people a seat at the table. And his bill laid there and laid there on Tim Jones's desk without a committee assignment, without even a shrug, while Tim Jones immediately goes to the press and makes it clear that impeachment probably isn't the way to go. And then did nothing. And then did nothing to in any way hold the governor accountable for the 250,000 people that had no voice. Who knows? Who knows whether Tim Jones had an epiphany or whether it was pressure exerted by us that finally drew him to say, okay, let's assign this damn thing to a committee. And he assigned it to the Judiciary Committee headed by Representative Stanley Cox. That happened in early April. And there it sat. And there it sat unmoved And there it sat without a hearing, right there on Stanley Cox's desk, without moving an inch. And Stanley Cox was saying, so a quarter of a million people don't have a voice at the table. That's not adequate, really, to impeach the governor. That's not adequate to bring these charges against the governor. And the governor continues to ignore the quarter million people who are unrepresented in Jefferson City. Finally, 3 weeks ago, whether through an epiphany or a voice in the night, or maybe just the pressure from the people, Stanley Cox begrudgingly called a hearing on 476. And in spite of the fact that the most inconvenient time for the public was chosen for this hearing, lunchtime on a Thursday, people came. And people testified. And those who couldn't come and who couldn't testify filled out witness forms. Stacks and stacks of witness forms. And made it clear to Chairman Cox that in their mind, this was an egregious offense. That attacking the foundations of the republic in violation of the constitutional duty of the governor wantonly and maliciously called for Stanley Cox to take some action. And the hearing came and went. And nothing happened. And the pressure was mounting on Stanley Cox to do something. And a whip of Stanley Cox's committee gave every indication that this bill, when brought to a vote, would see its way out to the House floor for open an honest debate. And Stanley Cox did nothing. And finally, as the pressure built, and without notifying the bill's sponsor, and without even a courtesy notification to the rest of his own committee, Stanley Cox makes it known to the press that in his mind, there was not sufficient support on his committee to even vote on 476. And Jay Nixon got a message. And Mike Moon got a message. Did you? Did you get a message in all that? Did you get a direct message from Stanley Cox in all that? I got the message. Some of the members of the committee contend that they'd have voted for this. Some of the members of the legislature sent the message out that they were incensed by this. And Mike Moon initiated, with some others, a discharge petition. A procedure in the House of Representatives by which 55 members could join together and say to Stanley Cox, bring that bill to the floor, and force Stanley Cox to do the right thing. They couldn't get 55 signatures. The last I heard, it was stalled at 22. Yet, time after time after time, members of the House of Representatives were telling their constituents on the phone, yes, I support 476. I haven't talked to or in any way corresponded with a single person who told me that they contacted their representative and were told by their representative that he or she was opposed to 476. Almost without fail, those people are being told that their representative supported 476. A whole hell of a lot more than 55 different representatives' constituents have relayed the fact that their representative supports 476. 22 signatures. 22 people who would tell Stanley Cox, we speak for the people of Missouri, not you. It's going to be interesting, and I still want to see that discharge petition. I want to see how many names that said to their constituents, oh, I support 476, actually do. I don't know. I've been told by my representative that he signed the discharge petition. I don't know. I don't have any faith in it, and I've got a good representative. I don't have enough faith in any of them anymore that I want to see that discharge petition and see if his name's on it. Don't you? But Stanley Cox got a message from the floor. And Jay Nixon got a message from the floor. Did you? Did you get the message? Did you get the message that in their minds, the republic in which we live has nothing to do with representation of the people? Did you get the message that they are in charge and not you? Did you get the message from Stanley Cox that he speaks for you? He certainly does, because you let him. Now, there's more to the message. 347-677-1835. And that more is this. So intent are these people, the Joneses and the Coxes and the Deals, on having their way with you that they mounted a primary campaign against Mike Moon. They have mounted a primary campaign by reaching down and grabbing a name recognized Republican to challenge Mike Moon, who stood up for you in the primary. Are you getting the message from these folks? Are they putting you in your place yet? That's their intent. They're going to put you in your place because they are running this show. And Stanley Cox, who said publicly, after a whip of his committee indicated just the opposite, that the members of his committee did not believe that denying representation wantonly and maliciously to a 250,000 sovereign Missouri citizens rose to the level of an impeachable offense. Stanley Cox is seeking, of all things, a judge's gavel in Pettis County. He wants to move from the position that he holds, where he believes he can single-handedly speak for you that it's perfectly all right to deny sovereign citizens their representation. He wants to move from that position to a circuit judge seat where he will actually decide people's lives. Are you getting the message from these people that you have a place and they'll let you know what it is? Are you getting the message? Are you ready to send a message back? Are you ready to stand up? Are you ready to fix Missouri so we can once again become a sovereign state? So we can once again have in our little section, in the little bitty section that we own, a government finally for the people, of the people, and by the people. When we come back from this break, we're going to find out.
You go fast and wrong for right and fast and wrong. People only stand for that for just so long. I don't have the gift of the prophecy, telling everybody how it's gonna be. There's a wildfire catching in the whip of the wind. Start a congregation like this, it's never been.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@missourigrassrootscoalition.org for details.
Have you given up? Have you just thrown in the towel? Like it or not, Stanley Cox speaks for you. There he is. There he sits. A product of us. Tim Jones, you don't like it, speaks for you. Like it or not, there he is. A product of us. A product of either our action or inaction. There he is. It is what it is. Now, the governor does not speak for you. The governor is governed by your representatives. The governor takes money from the Division of Children's Services and goes and pays his little dues to the Governor's Association. That seems to be okay with your representatives, you know. That seems to be okay then with us. Because through our action or inaction, that's our government. That is our sovereign state. That is your representation. Unless you live in one of five districts, then you have no representation. What we look for here is a message. How do we send a unified message? One voice from the people. You know, Stanley Cox is one voice from the people. I mean, he is in a position where he tells your representative that you don't get a voice through that representative on this issue. You understand, don't you, that no matter who you are, your representative, the person who speaks for you in Jefferson City, didn't get a vote on this. You understand, right, that the message from Stanley Cox is, you're not important. Your voice isn't important. The voice of your representative isn't important. I'm the decider, says Stanley Cox. You understand that it's this, I don't even like the term rhino, it's these undocumented Democrats who own the majority in the House of Representatives. that say to us, that Mike Moon, he's got to go. Let's read the paper this morning. I want to read you an editorial copied by the Springfield News Leader. That's my town's newspaper, if you can call it that, from the Joplin Globe. I'm going to stop after each paragraph or two and sum up, because this is so loaded. This editorial is so loaded that you can't just read it and get it all. There are so many facets to this editorial. The headline, State Republicans Lost Focus. Well, we can all agree with that. Impeachment talk was distraction from more serious issues. Well, they're down the tubes there already in my mind. There is no more serious issue. There is no more serious issue in the governance of a sovereign state than the representation of the people in the governing body. There is flatly no more serious issue. And here's the editorial. Legislators are generally serious people going about serious business, but every once in a while, a handful of them get together and rev themselves up so high that they throw a rod. Such was the case with the impeachment talk making its way through the halls of the Capitol this spring. There were a couple of peripheral claims, such as the one by State Rep Mike Moon, Republican Ash Grove, who filed his impeachment resolution in the House because he is unhappy that Governor Jay Nixon sometimes waited months to fill vacated positions. Okay, let's break this down. Governor Jay Nixon sometimes waited months to fill vacated positions. The governor doesn't fill positions. The governor's only constitutional obligation is to issue a writ of election without delay. I didn't just throw that without delay in there. It's there. Issue a writ of election without delay to fill vacant representative seats. I don't care how long the governor waits to fill positions in the Department of Corrections. I don't give a crap how long the governor waits to fill positions in the Department of Revenue. I don't care how long the governor dawdles in filling a vacant position in the stenographer's pool down the hall. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about just filling some position. We're talking about a writ of election to allow the people to select their representative at the seat of power And let's be clear. Governor Jay Nixon didn't sometimes wait months to fill vacated positions. It will be 435 days. An entire legislative session that people in the state of Missouri have had no voice at the seat of power. That, the article goes on, was just lunacy from Moon. Just last week, the chairman of the Missouri House panel, considering these impeachment resolutions, announced that the committee won't advance the matter to the House floor. Good. We've invested too much time and energy on them. If Republicans had continued to push forward on this, not that they didn't go too far already, it would have damaged their credibility and undermined their agenda. You know, sadly, that's probably the only true sentence in the article. If Republicans had continued to push forward on this, it would have damaged their credibility and undermined their agenda. The reason that it's sad that that is true is because it is an admission and observation of the fact that the representative republic is not the key issue Republican agenda. The sanctity of the representative republic is not even on the Republicans' radar, let alone part of the agenda. What we ask is that you now send a message. Will you send a message now? We need 100,000, about one-third the number of people who don't have a voice in Jefferson City. We need 100,000 sovereign Missouri citizens from all over the state to call and pledge $10 each for $20 total. Will you invest $20? $10 each to the campaign of Mike Moon, facing a primary challenge for having the audacity to believe in the representative republic, and to the campaign of Jeff Middlehauser, who stands against Stanley Cox in a primary for, of all things, a judgeship. Will you, is it worth $20 to you? Is the representative republic worth $20 to you? It's been worth blood to people. It's been worth the very life of some brave souls. Is it worth $20 to you to send a message that can't be missed? To send a message to the Stanley Coxes and Tim Joneses of the world. I'm telling you, $1 million in $10 bills is a message that can't be missed. It can't be missed by Stanley Cox. And it can't be missed by Tim Jones. They will be on the first week of July opening up the Missouri Ethics Commission forms of their opponents, Mike Moon and Jeff Middlehausen, and getting the message, if you'll send it. Will you send it tonight? 347-677-1835. Will you say, this is our state, and we're taking over? We're taking over. The time is short. Not just tonight. I mean our time is short. You are being ruled, not governed. And you are being ruled by an increasingly smaller and increasingly more elite and increasingly more arrogant group of people who have no care about you, but more importantly, have disdain for the fundamentals of the representative republic. Disdain. What are you going to do about that? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do about the message that Stanley Cox is sending Jay Nixon? What are you going to do about the message Stanley Cox is sending you? What are you going to do? Will you send $10 to the guy who stands up to Stanley Cox? Will you send $10 to the guy that stands up and says, Governor Nixon, I'm not going to let you get away with telling a 250,000 sovereign Missouri citizens that they don't have a fundamental right to representation in their government? Or will you just cower down and get the message that they're sending you? Because they're sending you a message. They are sending you a message. Loud, unmistakable, and clear. This is their government. You are their subject. That's the message. And admit it or not, you're getting it. You're getting the message. And you might go on Facebook once in a while and rant and rave. I certainly do. And you might even tweet out once in a while. I certainly do. And you might call your friends and complain about how things are going to hell in a handbasket. I certainly do. But I'm getting the message. And I'm ready to respond. Are you? 5 minutes of your time and a $20 bill. That's all it takes to send the message loud and clear that you are taking your state back. Damn it, this is our state, and we're taking over. 347-677-1835 if you have a message for Stanley Cox and Mike Moon.
You see the lambs in the ghetto who worship their Geppetto, believing you never seen the strings they think bind them. So we write to our congressmen with bleeding pins of the sorrow within, and pretend they just send tickets to the latest Tom Hanks.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for Grassfire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
Jim Crow climb, come springtime, so let me hear you say,
all right, we're back. I don't know any other way to put this than to say that I know most of our regular listeners are on tonight. I mean, it is a Friday night. I know it's chilly. It's rainy, chilly and rainy most of the state. So I have a good idea how many of you are out there listening. And I can't for the life of me imagine what's going through people's minds. I mean, the legislative session is over. It was a few mediocre victories. One or two, I can count on three fingers the important things that happened that were good. The Second Amendment Preservation Act is one of them. I don't even count as something good the tax cut thing. I mean, it's a tax cut in name only. It's a dime per $100, and it doesn't kick in till 2017, and it was really just a political statement by both sides. It was a win in political statements, as political statements go. But I am just disheartened. I am just disheartened. Stanley Cox is sending you a message. Jay Nixon is getting the message from Stanley Cox and Tim Jones. He's getting the message. It's okay, buddy. It's all right. These people aren't going to do anything to you. Your subjects are not going to challenge you on this. And Jay Nixon is sending you a message right back. Just listen up, folks, and do what I say, and you'll be all right. But you won't be all right. Things won't ever be the same after this legislative session. They either won't ever be the same because Stanley Cox got his message through to us loud and clear, or they won't be the same because we get a message back to them. Let's talk for a minute about what an impeachment is, okay? Because at the hearing, I'm telling you, at the hearing that they finally did have, it became almost laughingly, it would have been laughingly clear if it wasn't so sad, that even those sitting at the seat of government didn't understand what an impeachment is, what it means to be impeached. See, Mike Moon was never asking to have the governor kicked out. I mean, it would have been fine if the governor were kicked out. He was acting poorly. But that's not what an impeachment is all about. You get that, right? An impeachment is a grand jury indictment. An impeachment is, we find sufficient evidence to bring you to trial for this thing. An impeachment is, we want a study of the facts. We want you to have your day in court. We want to have our day in court. And then we want the judges to decide. Now, in Missouri, an impeachment works a little different. We're 347-677-1835. I'm just kind of going off in a tangent here because my head is getting just absolutely to the point of busting. I'm about ready to explode with all this messaging here, the message that's being sent. But understand that in Missouri, constitutionally, once an article of impeachment is passed by the State House of Representatives, it then goes to the Senate. Now, it's done. It's done. At that point, the governor is impeached, which means that he is brought to trial. Now, constitutionally in Missouri, his days as governor end as soon as the vote is taken in the House, and he is impeached. He is suspended, not kicked out of office. He is suspended and is not the acting governor until after he is acquitted. But he isn't kicked out of office. His political career isn't over. His governorship doesn't end. There's a trial. And in the United States federal system, that trial is conducted by the Senate. In Missouri, a sovereign state who gets to choose for herself how she does and doesn't do these things. The Senate picks a panel of judges, of jurists, of non-politicians, of practitioners of the law to hear the case, to hear the House of Representatives' case against the governor, and to hear the governor's defense. Now, we talked last night at length about the three articles of impeachment. There would be an energetic defense against Article 1. And there would be an energetic defense against Article 2. That's why 476 is the issue around which to rally. There is no defense for throwing the republic under the bus. There is no defense for wantonly and maliciously denying a 250,000 sovereign Missouri residents a seat at the table of governance. Someone stood up for you. And right now, they intend for him to pay a price. Right now, they intend for Mike Moon to pay a price for believing in you. They don't believe in you. They don't believe you are important enough. That you even deserve a seat at the table. Stanley Cox does not believe that you, a sovereign citizen of the state of Missouri, are even important enough that you deserve a seat at the table. One man did, and they are out to get him. Meanwhile, Stanley Cox goes about his business seeking a position in government where he will sit in a chair and decide people's lives. The man who does not think enough of you to stand up for your right in the representative republic wants to sit in a seat where he will decide people's lives. You know that little spiel that we went through about impeachment? You know, there are some people up there, probably on this committee, who do get the whole impeachment meaning, but they don't think you're smart enough to get it. They don't think the press is smart enough to get it. They think they'll be played as the bad guy for trying to kick Nixon out of office. And so they play the politics. So they don't want you to misunderstand what they're trying to do. So rather than either imagining in their little brains that you get it, that you're just as smart as or smarter than they are, they just don't want to play. There are those up there now who just don't want to be on the wrong side of the powerful when it comes time for re-election. There are those up there who need the dollars that come with being on the right side of these issues. Whatever the reason, it is inexcusable. Whatever the cost to them, inexcusable, that they would ever, ever condone a situation where a quarter of a million, sovereign Missouri voters don't have a seat in the House of Representatives. For a quarter of a million people, when that legislative session ended tonight, their chair was empty. For 283,000 Missourians who are being taxed by this government, who are being regulated by this government, who are being lorded over by this government, who are being spoken for by the likes of Jones and Cox, for 283,000 sovereign Missouri voters, when the vote came down for the important stuff like the Second Amendment Preservation Act, like the tax cut override, like the anti-Common Core bill, for 283,000 people, when those votes came down, the chair was empty. That makes this issue the most important issue, because all those other important issues that came up for a vote, for a quarter of a million Missourians, their chair was empty. It doesn't get any more important. It doesn't get any more black and white than that. And Stanley Cox said, "That's all right. That's all right, Jay. Yeah, don't do it again. Well, yeah, that was pretty bad, Jay, but we'll let it slide this time." And then they went and said, if you had the gall, if you had the nerve to challenge the governor on this, we will get you. This isn't Governor Nixon mounting a primary campaign against your representative on this issue. This is Stanley Cox and Tim Jones mounting a primary campaign against the one guy who dared say, this ain't right. Against the one guy who, when questioned under oath in a hearing, said, I wouldn't care if it was a Republican governor. I'd vote for impeachment. You can't deny a 250,000 people representation at the seat of power. I don't care if it's a this isn't about politics. This is about the fundamental foundational principle of representative government. We're going to hang in here for about 25 more minutes, folks. 347-677-1835. Right now, you are sending a message to Stanley Cox. Right now, you are sending a message to Jefferson City. This minute, you are sending your message to the government of this state. I'm telling you, give up on Washington, D.C. until you can get your state in order. Give up on Washington, D.C. until you can get the sovereign state of Missouri back to a representative republic that speaks for the people of the state of Missouri.
Come the RJ, come the FNG, come the RJ of hell. This is why we
no matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
One in five, no one here gets
347-677-1835, if you want to get in on this message. I do have to start this segment, this final segment, by saying that we weren't asked by Mike Moon to raise money. We weren't asked by Jeff Middlehauser to raise money. We're not endorsed in this message by either one of them. This needs to be a message that can't be missed. $1 million in $10 bills is, to be quite frank, more money than the treasurer of either one of these committees wants to manage. Much more than is ever needed, or I don't know what it's like out in Pelosi's district, but I can't imagine that there's a representative district in the country that uses $1 million for a primary campaign. That's why, that's what we're after. That is exactly the reason we are after this. This needs to be a message that can't be missed. Stanley Cox, we're done with you. Mike Moon, thank you very much. This needs to be a message to the 2015 legislature. Look up, be smart. You're there for us. We're in control. And do this right by us, or the next $1 million is coming your way. You'll be the recipient of the next $1 million message. This is all really... I'm telling you, I'm not even talking about my time anymore, okay? I'm having some fun here tonight. I'm talking about your time, okay? You are wasting your time. If you go to Facebook and join 14 groups... and make plans to go vote for the right guy or go vote for the wrong guy or go beat. If you don't send a message in a single unified voice, listen, I'm not saying I'm the mastermind here, okay? If you've got another way to send a unified message in the voice of the people from all over the state of Missouri to the 2015 legislature that says we are done with business as usual, we are taking over. If you've got a way to do that, then get it out there. I'm telling you, this is a way. Close your eyes and imagine 100,000 people holding $10 bills in their hand and saying, we want you working for us. Just there it is. Close your eyes. You're standing on the portico of the Capitol building in Jefferson City. And out there between you and the river, in that big open field, there are 100,000 people with $10 bills in their hands saying, we want you working for us. Or imagine that you're holed up in a committee room, making decisions that affect people's lives, while out there on that portico is the guy who wants to replace you, the guy who thinks you're doing it wrong. And in front of him are 100,000 people saying, we want you working for us. You know what's better in sending a message? In sending a message to a lawmaker or a group of lawmakers, you know one thing better than 10 donors who give $100,000 apiece? Imagine you and I are lawmakers. And imagine that I have 10 donors, Monsanto and State Farm and Aetna Insurance and Mutual of Omaha and John Doe Drug Company and St. John's Hospital and the Teachers Union. I have 10 donors who each gave me $10,000 or $100,000. I have 10 donors who gave me $100,000 each. And you have 100,000 donors who gave you $10 each. Which one of us has the loudest voice? Which one of us has the loudest voice? The one with 10 donors and $1 million, or the one with 100,000 donors and $1 million? That's the point of the message. It's the $1 million message. Listen. Last week, in the Missouri State Senate, 50 people shut the session down for about 40 minutes. How much shutdown? And shut down is what this government needs. Could 100,000 people do? We're taking over. It is that simple. We're taking over. You work for us, Stanley Cox. I'll say it. You work for us, Mike Moon. You work for us, Tim Jones. Now, of those three, which one do you think agrees with me when I say that? Which one of those three people wholeheartedly agrees with me when I say, you work for us, We're taking over. This is our state. It's not your state. That's why they're coming after Mike Moon. Because he agrees with you when you say that. The messages are being sent. Stanley Cox is sending you a message. Do you get it? Do you get the message? Jay Nixon is sending you a message. And yes, Mike Moon is sending you a message. Are you even awake enough to get the message? We're going to come back tomorrow night and do this all again. We're going to come back Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next week and do it all again. We're going to shoot for 100,000 donors. Find us online at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Find us on Facebook at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Please go like our page, The Million Dollar Message. Search for it on Facebook, Million Dollar Message. It's all spelled out. It's not like $1 million with a dollar sign in front of it. It's MILLION space DOLLAR space MESSAGE, Million Dollar Message. Our call taker tonight, Melanie, I want to thank you, Melanie, for coming along tonight and helping us out.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure to help Mike Moon and oppose the oppressive House representatives like Cox. So I wanted to point out that John Lilly locally has spoken up about this issue, which is refreshing for me to see. And he tried to point out to our local Greene County area that it's not okay for 285,000 Missourians to not have full representation in the state government.
It certainly isn't.
And also that Mike Moon was supportive of Blunt being impeached for the same thing. Also, he pointed out that Mike Moon is a, quote, a legislator that is upholding his oath of office. If only we had 196 copies of Representative Moon. Thank you, John Lilly.
Did you notice today, you read the editorial in the paper today, right?
I did. Did
you notice how they put Mike's picture on that editorial, almost as though he were the author of that editorial?
That was low down. That's all I can say. Low down.
It was absolutely crazy. We went over that editorial a bit tonight on the show, folks.
I'll tell you, when I write my editorial, my picture will be there. Okay.
Good. So there it is, folks in Missouri. You can all subscribe to the Springfield News Leader, and you'll be able to see what Melanie looks like. Melanie, it's getting around, isn't it? It's getting around a little bit on the social networking, what we're trying to do.
I'm hoping so.
And we're getting the word out little by little. The momentum is building. We're looking forward to tomorrow and to Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next week. We'll bring this thing to a close on Saturday. Now, you folks can go to, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to, on the Facebook page, Million Dollar Message, I'm going to post the links to Mike's Facebook page, and I'm going to post the address for Mike's campaign headquarters and for Jeff Middlehauser's campaign headquarters. So if you can't be here during the show, I mean, we want you to come. We want you to listen. We want you to participate. We want you to call in. We want to hear what you have to say, and we want to let the rest of the world know that you folks are out there and sending the message. But if you can't get here on Thursday or Friday or Saturday night between the hours of 7 and 9, I do want you to be able to participate, to get your pledge money into Jeff and Mike. So we will go ahead tonight or early tomorrow morning, and on the website we'll post the addresses where you can mail a payment or in Mike's case, now Jeff hasn't even built a website, but in Mike's case, you can go right to his website and donate directly using your credit card or a electronic check. So we'll get that up for you on the Facebook page and at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. You can follow us on the Facebook page at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. You can follow this message at Million Dollar Message. You can follow me on Twitter at David Court, DavidCort, or at The Courthouse. That's spelled the way my name is, not the way the Supreme Court House is spelled. You can follow me on Facebook if you like at David Court. We're getting the word out.
We have a caller, Dave.
We do.
You want to grab it?
I got it. Hey, who's this? Hello? Hello, caller.
Hello.
You're on the air. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Who is it?
It's Tom in Nixa.
Hi, Tom from Nixa. How are you? Have you
doing
been following?
For some reason I've got two Samsung phones, and I have spent all evening trying to get it to listen through the internet. I can listen to your podcast, but I can't listen when it says listen now. I can't listen now. It doesn't work.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Just so you know, so if you for some reason think you're talking to nobody and nobody can hear you, that might be what's going on, because I can only listening to the podcast work fine.
Listened
to yesterday's shows and stuff. I do have a question though. How is it that the Stanley Cox is solely responsible for killing the bill for the impeachment? I mean, weren't there like five other members of the committee? I mean, how is it that these other guys aren't responsible for it?
Yeah, Tom, but Stanley Cox didn't even let the committee vote on it. Stanley Cox single-handedly killed the bill. He put it in the drawer and didn't even bring it to the committee for a vote.
Well, can't the committee members bring it up?
No. No, if the committee chairman, and this that's a weird rule of the House, if the committee chairman doesn't bring it up for a vote, then the committee does. In fact, the committee has been clear now, and I have some doubts about the integrity of this committee as a whole. But the committee has been clear in that Stanley Cox didn't even informed them that it was not going to be brought up for a vote, that they didn't find out themselves that it was not going to be brought up for a vote until they read about it in the newspaper. They expected it to be brought up as a vote. The indications, Tom, are that there was a whip of the committee the day after the hearing, and that had it been voted on, it would have passed. Now, that said, this is politics as normal. After the fact, it's easy enough for the committee members to say, oh, yeah, I'd have supported that. That is why we talk about this discharge petition and how important it is that we see the names on this discharge petition. There is that procedure that the whole House could have done to get this thing forced out of the committee. But as far as the committee goes, Stanley Cox single-handedly killed that bill.
Okay. Hey Tom, it's Melanie.
Right.
Did you call your reps, the ones that we were notified to call?
Yeah, I even sent postcards.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
me too.
I'm listening.
So
I said me too. I just wanted to make sure.
That's
right.
I can't
tell you how many emails I sent out with all the contact phone numbers and addresses of. There were two in particular that they needed help on, according to certain people. So and I sent out a ton of those for those two. I think one was Richardson. I think one of the guys was, and there was another one.
Right.
I can't remember right.
Oh,
but
wow.
I probably sent out 150 emails to people saying, hey, you need to call, you need to write, you need a postcard.
Right. See, the members of this committee, Elmer, Carnejo, Haar, Higdon, Lira, Marshall, and Richardson, those are just the Republican members of the committee. We can expect no votes from the Democrats. Although, listen, my Democrat brothers and sisters, I don't understand why. I don't understand why this is even partisan. I don't understand why it's even got anything to do with Democrat and Republican. If you are not being represented in the capital of your state, you are being wronged. That's all there is to it. But
this whole thing infuriates me to no end, simply because, I mean, this is a pretty simple, straightforward thing. You know,
yeah.
let the whole House hear this, and let's see where the chips fall. You know,
absolutely, Tom.
We can't even get to that. And
this
is the three reasons for the impeachment don't even touch upon skirting around the education issues on Common Core or the biometric theft from Morpho Trust, you know,
right?
Or the people that have concealed carry and had all their information sent off, you know.
One of the articles of impeachment did, in fact, deal with that. The one that Rick Bratton introduced did deal with the CCW list release.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so,
and do we have a majority of Republicans in the House or not?
Technically, we still have a supermajority because one of the empty seats is a Democratic seat.
Did
yes.
you say a super majority? S-U-P-E-R?
Yeah. Yes.
And we can't get this anything done. I swear that it's ridiculous.
There you go.
Everybody needs. We need to find out every reason for each person to be primaried. I mean, the Democrats do it. If they're not working in lockstep and not following everything 100%, they're out of there. And all these Republicrats are afraid. Oh my gosh, we might offend somebody. So we're not going to do anything.
This is something that I've said for years, Tom, and keep repeating. Especially when we're talking about state sovereignty, especially which is the subject of this thing every Friday and Saturday night. But especially when we're talking about things like state sovereignty, especially when we're talking about things like straightening up our state, the sovereign people getting together and coalescing into a sovereign state where we're finally ready to take our place at the table of the cooperative of the 50 states. But this is something I've said over and over again. If you are a Republican, and I'm not, but if you are a Republican and you are a patriot, your fight is in the primary. By the time you get to the general election, it's over as far as fighting for a patriot candidate.
Yeah.
Your fight is, if you are one of these Republicans, and I have a lot of dear, dear Republican friends who are trying to save their party. I think it's a lost cause. But I have all the respect in the world for them. They're lifelong Republicans, and they're trying to save their party from the committee level, from the local level, and I have all the respect in the world for that. But by golly, your fight is, if that's your fight is in your primary.
Yep. I would agree with that.
So, what do you got to say to that, Melanie?
I say that we need angry, mobilized voters.
Well, okay.
What can anger them? I mean, we've got Common Core going on. We have, 166,000 concealed carry people that had their information given to international, databases. I mean, what else can you do? And then we have a tax cut that we can't get. I mean, come on, what's going on? I mean, I don't get it. We're on the verge of a police state. We've got all the counties buying military, armored vehicles just for fun and games. I don't know what it takes anymore.
What do we do? Okay. You call them maybe even after hours, so it lands in voicemail. You tell all your people to call them and tell them that you disagree with them and that you are in, that you are registered to vote in their district and that you will vote them out if they continue to do business the way they're doing. You can fax, you can call, you can email people, numbers of people is what it takes. Because if they know that you are in their district and you have the numbers to vote them out, they will fear you.
But see, that's why, and Melanie, you're exactly right. But listeners, that's why this message is so important. That's why this specific message we're trying to get out here is so important, because Stanley Cox, whether you like it or not, when he sets himself up in a position where he can single-handedly bottleneck your bill, he speaks for you. It doesn't matter that you are or are not in his district, because he works for you. When he sets in a position where he can single-handedly deny your representative even a vote on this bill, then he works for you, whether you're in his district or not.
So if a person wants to pledge money on this stuff, what are the phone numbers? Because you guys don't say the phone numbers enough and often.
Well, all we're taking here, Tom, is pledges. Now, if you've got a pencil and paper, and everyone who's listening can write this down if you want, there is no direct donation line for Jeff Middlehauser. His address, at where you'll need to send a $10 check, is Friends of Jeff Mittelhauser. That's MittelHauser. That's Friends of Jeff Middlehauser. It's 22010 Stewart Road, Stewart Road, Sedalia, Sedalia, Missouri, 65301. Now, what you can do for Mike is you can just go to Mike Moon for Missouri. His name, M-I-K-E-M-O-O-N, for the word spelled out, F-O-R, Missouri. That's all one word, of course, because you're in a URL. MikeMoonForMissouri.com. There's a donate button there, and you can just use it to use either an electronic check or any one of your credit cards to send a donation directly to Mike. Now, I would never, I will never ask any of our listeners to do this. $10 is what we're asking. I'm sending $100. And the reason I'm sending $100 that I can ill afford is because I want my name to show up the next time Stanley Cox and Julie, what's your name? Help me out, Melanie.
Rizicka.
Open up the Missouri Election Commission's form and see who's been donating to these campaigns. Now, if you send $10, your donation will be strictly anonymous, and that's fine. That's fine. We need 100,000 $10 donations to send a message that can't be missed.
Now, this Middlehauser, you said it's 22010 Stewart Road. Is that what you said?
That's right. Stewart Road. Go ahead, Tom.
22010, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Sedalia, Missouri, 65301. And, folks, I'll go ahead and post this on the Million Dollar Message Facebook page. I'll post it at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. And we'll give this information out in every show from now on. We've been giving it out to people who call in to pledge. But maybe somebody doesn't want to call in, Melanie. Maybe they're bashful, or maybe they'll change their mind, or maybe they just are trying to feed the kids while we're on the air, and don't have time to call in. So we'll be a little. That's my shortcoming. I'm not a fundraiser, folks. So I don't know how to do this stuff. I'm here trying to preach to the choir, trying to get you folks fired up, trying to get together a message that can't be missed by these folks. And it's not, like I've said already, and listen, we got 4 minutes left, so I'm going to wrap this thing up right here. Like I've said, this is not a message specifically to Stanley Cox. This is not a message specifically to Julie Rizicka. This is a message to the government of the state of Missouri. We are the people. You govern at our consent, and we are taken over. We are taken over. Whether you be Stanley Cox, whether you be Tim Jones, whether you be Mike Moon, whether you be Eric Burleson, whether you be whoever.
Hey, could you give us a list of the champions, other people that are like Mike Moon, so we know who's on our side, who we really need to be supporting? Because we don't hear their names enough, and when we hear them, they're, you know, in different times and places. We just need a good list.
I got 2 minutes left. I can't do it tonight. I'll give a list of my favorites tomorrow. Anybody who wants to call in and give a list of their favorites. But, Tom, that's why I picked this issue, because when we talk about the Second Amendment Preservation Act, or when we talk about the tax cut, or when we talk about Common Core, we get into so many gray areas that there are differences even among the Patriots. We can talk about Paul Kurtman. Paul Kurtman, great guy, great guy. But I'm gonna have arguments from people. Oh, Paul Kurtman voted for this. Paul Kurtman said that. Paul Kurtman did this. We can talk about specific issues. We can talk about the Second Amendment Preservation Act, which I all four of us here on air tonight know and love. But we're gonna run into, even among Patriots, even among real Patriots, people who say, I don't like the thing about open carry in there. I like to think about this in there. That's the reason I picked this issue, Tom. This is black and white. We're talking about a quarter of a million people who don't have a voice at the table. We're talking about a governor who wantonly and maliciously said, I don't want these 280,000 people to have a voice in the government because that's too many Republicans in the House of Representatives. This is a black and white issue. I don't care what patriot group you're in. You don't have an argument with me on this.
Also, being ridiculed in the news leader for this effort is your first indication that you're doing something right. Can I just say that? Yes.
But yes, Tom, I'm down to 10 seconds, and I promise you tomorrow night we will – I'll give you a list of who my favorites are, sure.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, good night,
thanks,
folks.
Dave.
Thank
good
you,
night.
Thanks.
We're out of here,
thanks,
folks.
Tom.
Have a great night.
There are so many contradictions in all these messages we send. How do I get out of here? Where do I fit in? Though the world is torn and shaken, even if your heart is breaking,